Well, for several weeks now, I believe that the Lord has been speaking to the body about bearing fruit. Anybody bearing fruit yet? That was such an overwhelming response. Last week, we looked at the difference between gathering fruit and bearing fruit from within ourselves. The one was internal in nature, and the other was external. Both are, or should be, a product of a Christian life. We looked at scriptures last week which speak about the necessity of patience. In Luke's gospel, Jesus said that the seeds which fell on good ground would bear fruit. But then he added the clause, with patience. Has anybody got patience? So he's still working there, huh? Not all fruit is immediate. It's a work in progress. The process of fruit bearing has a conception point, a point at which it's conceived. From that point, the work continues as a process. But it's not completed at the beginning point. We don't start a work that we know is going to take a long time to do and call it complete the day we started, do we? Well, some of you might. We look at the challenge and we give up. But there are many things that God calls us to that are a long drawn out process, and the day we begin, we know that we're not finished. Can I get a witness? God's not finished with us yet. We've started on that road, and God's been faithful to this point. And we've made a good start, but we know that there's much left to accomplish. It's not finished on the day we begin. Like the natural conception of a child, it's not completed on the day that it's conceived. There are 9 months of waiting before the process brings disclosure of the fruit. And the fruit of the womb, even beyond that point, continues to develop. In much the same way, when we discussed fruit that grows on trees, the first sign of fruit is a bud. And then it blossoms, but it's not finished. Given time, those buds and blossoms turn into these tiny little, very little, green, hard-looking things that will eventually develop into fruit. But it's not finished. And throughout the season, it continues to grow. It continues to develop. And finally, toward the end, it begins to ripen into something that's mature. But it's still not finished. In the spiritual realm, likewise, fruit is conceived, and it begins to grow, and it continues to develop until there's a evidence of a matured fruit that's ripe for the harvesting. It didn't get there at once. It wasn't finished the day it began. It has a definite starting point, though. Can anybody say amen? There's a definite starting point in our spiritual growth. We praise God for the day that the light bulb came on and we finally recognized that Jesus Christ was the only way. Life began. but it wasn't finished. It continues to develop that seed that's within us until it matures to the point where it's ready to produce fruit in others too. Let's look at John chapter 12. I prayed, sought the Lord all week, and at 5:30 last night, he finally gave me a scripture. This is the one he gave me. John chapter 12, verse 23, it says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." I don't often revert back to the authorized version. I did this morning for one reason. In verse 24, it uses the word fruit instead of just produces more grain. And as you check into the original tongue, the original language, the word that was represented there was fruit. It brings forth much fruit. But I want you to see the qualification there for bringing forth fruit. Anybody see it yet? We just want to overlook that part. We want to jump from 23 straight down to bringeth forth much fruit. Unless it falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, or produces much grain. Now, for many of you, you've heard that teaching on these few verses, as have I. And the point made in the teaching was to reiterate the truth of what Jesus accomplished at the cross. And I am not trying in any way to refute that truth. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not changing. I'm not trying to say that what you've heard in the past is wrong, okay? I agree that Jesus, when he fell into the earth and died, brought forth an abundant amount of fruit, a harvest of souls. If the events of the cross on that hill outside of Jerusalem had not taken place, then there would be no eternal harvest. There would have been no Pentecost in the weeks following. There would have been no lasting church. It wouldn't have progressed probably beyond the next generation had there not have been a Savior taking our sin upon himself, dying in our place, going to the grave. He did. And because of that, we have life. I don't want to take anything away from that. I believe he accomplished it all. There would be no salvation for us had he not. But let me interject a thought without taking away from that one. It's supposed to work the same in our lives as well. It's supposed to work the same in our lives. For weeks now, we've been looking at the subject of bearing fruit. Because of the things that Jesus did for us at Calvary, a seed has been planted within us. That seed produced in us faith with the potential of bearing kingdom fruit. All of you look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Was there a seed planted in you? Was there a faith that started rising up? It has potential to bear fruit. One day that seed took root in our hearts and a new life began. Is anybody, are you bearing witness? Is there a new life out there? Is there an invisible glass here and I'm just talking to me? Well, at least now I know what's going on. Born again life. Does anybody remember what the old life was like? Born again life. It came out of seed. That day was such a wonderful day. The day that life began. But the project was not finished on that day. I know there's a lot of people who preached. It was all done. It was all finished. It was all complete. Well, everything that Jesus needed to do was, He'd made the way possible. He'd opened wide the door. He had atoned with the only atonement that was ever necessary or ever will be necessary, so that you could have that life within you. But that life wasn't finished any more than a tree's work is when it first buds and blossoms. The life is evident, but the life is also incomplete. Even when the fruit has come to full maturity, what then? How many of you just studied a tree that had fruit on it? Does it just keep hanging there and hanging there and hanging there like an eternal Christmas ornament? Eventually it comes to the point, if somebody doesn't harvest, that it's going to fall off by itself. And if it doesn't, it would rot on the vine. Good to absolutely no one for no reason. When Jesus spoke the words about a grain falling to the ground and dying, he wasn't talking about himself only. He was referring, I believe, to all who have the seed of life in them. He wasn't just speaking a collage of unrelated topics. His thought processes were flowing from one truth to the next. As soon as he finished with the thought about a grain of wheat falling to the ground, he followed by addressing those who were his servants. The very next verse in John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. As he was talking about the grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying, he, two verses later, says, I came for this purpose. This is where I've been going my whole life and my whole ministry. But interjected between those two thoughts, he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. He didn't start on a topic, go to another topic, and then go back to the first one again. It was all one topic with one thought line and one thought process going through his mind. It was about him going to the cross and fulfilling everything that his Father had commissioned him to do. Him falling to the ground and dying, bringing forth much fruit. But in the middle of the thought, he said, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. If anyone serves him, let him follow me." To follow, according to Strong's dictionary, says to be on the same road with, to accompany, to be on the same road with. You know, it's not just a thing of watching Jesus blazing a trail before us and us coming when it's safe in the far distance. For us, it seems to be the way we want to look at it. Jesus blazed a trail before us, and once the path is clear and it's safe outside, we'll just come right along behind him in the trail that's already there. But the true meaning in the Greek talks about accompanying him on the same road. Not being far behind, not lagging in the distance, but walking with him on the same road. He said, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Let him walk with me." And the road he's talking about in that very moment is the road that's leading him to the cross. It's the very road that's leading him to denial of everything that he might possibly think of on his own. Having a self-agenda. Anybody got one of those? Three people nod, two people raise their hands, and the rest are liars. Well, maybe that's a harsh word. How many of you have self-agendas from time to time? How many of you sit down and draw up the blueprints? I can tell some of you guys have got major drafting boards in your house. You got a stack of sharpened pencils drawing up plans. Jesus was declaring himself to take a road to dying to any selfish ambitions, any self aspirations. And he said, "If you serve me, follow me." We're called to give up our own life, otherwise we won't bear fruit. How many of you want to bear fruit? He doesn't say there's another way to do it. He doesn't say there's another way to do it. We're called to give up our own life. Otherwise, we don't bear fruit. He said, "Unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it die, it bears much fruit." You know, it's a whole lot easier to look at that as a concept than it is to put it into practice. It's real easy to look at the concept and say, "Yes, I agree with that." It's harder to put it into practice. Last night I was here during the youth group's worship time. They were worshiping to Jason Upton's chorus, "No Sacrifice." I had Patrick and the team do it again this morning. "No Sacrifice." As I listened, I began to hear in my spirit the very same thought that God was impressing on me as I read through John 12 about bearing fruit. It's not just about doing good things and calling it ministry, but it's about a completely surrendered life, so that the Father can bring his life out of it. A life that's willing to give up everything. A life that's holding nothing back. Not seeking to fulfill personal dreams. Not seeking achievements. Seeking rather to be an empty vessel that the Father, through the Holy Spirit, can fill up with all of Him and then use to bear His fruit in His life. Listen to the words of that worship song for just a second. We sang it this morning. To you I give my life. Not just the parts I want to. Not just the parts I want to. To you I sacrifice these dreams that I hold on to. The chorus goes, your thoughts are higher than mine. Your words are deeper than mine. Your love is stronger than mine. This is no sacrifice. Here's my life. It's a lot easier to sing words that somebody else wrote that were imparted into somebody else's spirit because there's a tune to them and they just roll off the tongue. But when you stop and think about what he's saying, I'm giving you everything, God. Not just the things that are convenient or the things that are easy or the things that feel good or the things that don't cost me that much. I'm giving you everything. Second verse says, to you I give the gifts that your love has given me. How can I hoard the treasures that you designed for free? You know, one of the saddest things in the church world is that God gives gifts and the church sits on them. It doesn't use any of them. We have a gift, and if it is used, it's used within the context just of the body. You wouldn't believe how many churches I've been to in my past where you would enter the service and the gifts of the Spirit were flowing. Sister so-and-so would get up and share a message in tongue, and brother so-and-so would get up and interpret it, followed by another pattern, somebody else speaking in tongues, somebody else interpreting. There would come a prophecy in English, and all the people were falling on their knees and saying amen. And the gifts would just come right after another, and for 30 or 45 minutes, there would be nothing but gifts flowing. And yet, it never went outside the door. It became a spiritual exercise to be seen of men. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Others, maybe you haven't experienced that before. But it's like we hoard the gifts. We keep them to ourselves, and the people who really need them never receive anything from what God's given. How can I hoard the treasures that you designed for free? Third verse, to you I give my future. Anybody growing up in a mainline denomination as I did and understood eternity, we understood giving our life to Him for the future meant that someday when He came again, that then He could have us. I'm just holding out for that day when He comes again. Then I'm going to be all His, never to leave His presence. But to give your future to Him is not just to give eternity, it's to give the next moment and the one that follows that. And the next 10 minutes and the 10 that follow that and the next hour and the hours that follow that. To you I give my future as long as it may last. That part adds a whole lot to it. my future as long as it may last. That's not just giving your future while it's convenient. That's not just giving your future for, you know, next Sunday I'll be here again, God. I give you my future. Wednesday night I'm going to come and I'm going to pray. And we wear it like a badge that we gave up a couple of hours of our time. And when the people got up because it was 12 and go to lunch while somebody's still speaking up here, and those of you that sat in the chairs and said, look at me, I stayed through the whole thing. I thought he was never going to end, but I stayed for it all. I gave it to you, God. Look at me, I'm spiritual. We sang, I give you my future as long as it may last. To you I give my present. To you I give my past. You know, past is one of the things that I've seen in believers that's harder to give up than anything. How many of you have tried to make up for all the lost time and all the lost years? How many of you have tried to make up for the mistakes, trying to work it out in yourself? Because you know where you've been and you know that God knows it too. You put in a little extra effort and you're constantly beating yourself down and not going forward because you're always trying to catch up the past. You know, I'm not much for preaching song lyrics, but this morning I just feel like the Spirit is stirring. To you I give it all. And that means that you've got to give up the past that might have been rotten and ruined. You've got to give up the mistakes that you've made and quit trying to correct them. What you've got to do is start right here and go forward with Him, because He's the only one that can save you. You fixing what was in the past can't save you. You trying to correct it by making up for it or doing a few extra good deeds that no one else is doing doesn't save you. It's surrendering everything, past, present, and future, to Him. But see, we've got this mindset that we can do something for ourselves. What we can do for ourselves is die and let Him reign. What we can do for ourselves is fall to the ground and die, because then He's able to bring forth fruit out of it. Because your life will never do it. It's only His. As we become surrendered to Him, He can bring forth His life and He can bear the fruit that He desires in you. Songwriter spoke of giving everything. But let me tell you, Jesus did more than just sing the song. He didn't just sing a song, Father, I'm giving it all to you. He lived what the songwriter expressed. That's the message this morning. He didn't just talk about giving God everything. He gave God everything. He lived what was written on the words. He laid down His life. The grain of wheat fell to the ground and died. And we're called to follow Him. To walk the same road, to accompany. It was in His death that He produced much fruit. During His life, we saw the miracles. During His life, we saw the healings. During His life, we saw blind eyes open. During His life, we saw the deaf ears unstopped. We saw the lame get up and walk. We saw the lepers cleansed. We saw dead raised, one at a time. But it's when He fell to the ground and died, it says that 3,000 were added to the church as the Holy Spirit came that day. It wasn't until after He died and there was a message to be preached that the message was empowered. It was in his death that he brought forth fruit. And we're called to bear fruit. We are called to bear fruit. We read the scripture last week, John 15:16. There it is. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Jesus, looking at his disciples, his closest followers, his friends, he says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you that you should bear fruit. This morning, I want you to understand. Yeah, they had a special ministry. But he's calling you too. And your commission is the same as theirs, to bear fruit. It's what your life is about. Being in him, but in him, bearing fruit. It'll only be produced after the same example that Jesus gave. Once again, John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. This morning, the Lord's exhortation to you is this. Give up your own strivings. Cease trying to produce fruit in yourself. Die to your plans. And surrender yourself fully to his. You'll produce more fruit by dying than you ever will by trying. Because unless the grain falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. This morning, I'm not supposed to go any beyond that. I'm going to ask the worship team to come again. Not for the sake of